Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and RCARE. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We are in Nashville, Tennessee at the NRC Symposium, and we have an incredible guest on our program today. I cannot wait to have this conversation with Leslie Campbell. She is the COO of Diversa Care here in Tennessee. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, so it's great to have you on, and it was awesome hearing a little bit about y'all's tie, Texas. Tie and a commute to Brentwood.
So that's right.
Two awesome towns.
Uh-huh, so absolutely.
Glad you could join us today.
Great music cities, right?
Incredible, yeah. Incredible. And the energy is really good here. We're at the Omni, which, people in the healthcare and senior living business, there's a lot of that goes on in Nashville. And so most likely they've been to the Omni in Nashville and spent a little time down here having some thought leadership. And so, Leslie, we want to know more about your passion and your why and you're at a very high level in this organization that's very well known. And so we'd like to hear some of your thoughts on culture and just topics that are burning inside of you. So give us some of your background to help educate our listeners.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. So I am a clinician at heart. I'm a physical therapist and kind of was one of those therapists that went to school and had all of my internships in the acute care environment. And I was one of those therapists who said, I will never work in a nursing home. And I started my career in the acute care setting, and I was actually doing wound care in a clinic in Temple, Texas. And I had cared for this lady, Lola Petruca, a long time ago. We became friends, and she discharged back to the local nursing home. And about a week later, the local nursing home administrator showed up in my office and said, I'd like to take you to lunch. And I paused a moment, but something made me say yes. And before I knew it, I had signed up to be the director of rehab in this
that
nursing
you would
home.
Never do. There,
right, never yeah. do, never do, right? And I did it sight unseen, so it was almost as if it were bigger than me. I'm sure you hear that a lot in our profession. It was bigger than me. And it was at that nursing home in Temple, Texas, that I fell in love with the profession. And from there, became an administrator and just had the opportunity to step into a role that I thought allowed me to make a bigger impact while still leveraging my clinical skills. And I've just had the good fortune and blessing to be surrounded by a lot of people, great mentors and fellow team members as I've progressed throughout the years and led into bigger roles and allowed me via teams to make a bigger impact. So I have a passion for serving people, I have a passion for leading people, and I have a passion for developing future leaders. And this role kind of allows me to do all three.
That's so cool. So tell our audience that might not fully understand what DiversaCare does, kind of your role, you just kind of alluded to it a little bit, but what is daily life like in the DiversaCare world? What are your missions and what are you doing?
Sure. So our company is a post-acute healthcare company. We have some assisted living beds and SNF beds, and we have 72 centers across 10 states in the country, and we have about 8,000 team members. And the great thing about DiversaCare, when I joined the company about 7 years ago with our CEO, Jay McKnight, he was CFO at that point in time, we embarked on an endeavor to transform the company. And this basically consisted of taking the foundation of this great company, this sweet little nursing home company, built on a foundation of strong, loyal team members providing great care to residents in communities where we existed, and transformed it into something that would allow the company to not just survive, but thrive in the new environment. And that was founded on creating a culture around our team members, around team member engagement, giving voice to our team members and empowering our team members. And we kind of did it in a unique way. I remember I was running, I'm a little bit of a runner, and I was running one day listening to the book by Seth Godin, Tribes, and something clicked. This is where we are as a company. We need to disrupt the status quo, create a ruckus, and create something really special, meaningful, and lasting. And that essentially started with crafting a mission statement around which all of our team members could get aligned. And this consisted of bringing team members in from the field and crafting a mission statement that was consistent across all of our company and allowed our team members to really connect at a heart level with it. And it's a real simple mission statement, but I believe it captures the essence of why we do what we do and the noble work that our team members do every day. And it's just improve every life we touch by providing exceptional health care and exceeding expectations. And that's really what we center everything we do around.
So engaging the team around that mission, you obviously created a consistent mission statement that was somewhat easy for them to understand and connect with. But then when you roll that out and you start engaging with them, what have been some practical wins for you guys, and how have you measured all of that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, that was the whole intent of creating something that could be memorized, right? And that was really the first step. Let's introduce it in a consistent way, link it to those we serve. And the first step is just memorize it and include it in our daily vernacular and say it over and over again. And so memorizing the head knowledge, and then it's in our words every day, and the head knowledge eventually becomes heart knowledge, that head-to-heart connection, and then suddenly it's manifested through our daily actions. And we measured that in several different ways. We really wanted to give voice to our team members throughout this process. And we had done the annual team member satisfaction survey, but we wanted to increase the frequency with which we were hearing from our team members. So we started a pulse survey that asked 10 simple questions around engagement. And one of those questions was, I know the mission statement, first of all, and I understand how my job role connects to the mission statement, helps us fulfill as a company the mission statement. And making that very personal for our team members really resulted in buy-in, alignment, and better outcomes on our balanced scorecard. It translated into everything that we measure, starting with turnover, increased retention, increased team member engagement, and then you flip up to the quality side of what we do, and there was a direct correlation to that as well.
That's so cool. So, you know, I think every organization that I've ever been part of or that has ever sought to do some things like probably experiences some frustrations, some hiccups. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the lessons you've learned on this journey that, you know, it might have been something that was a frustration or a hiccup and you had to pivot a little bit, or maybe it was something as simple as trying to get those team members to fill out the surveys, to engage with the surveys and things like that. Are there any practical things that you've experienced that you've learned?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, in order to get our team members excited about participating, we did some of the in-the-box kinds of things, you know, just simple little incentives. You know, we made it easy for them, had it at the kiosk, so we automated it. And while they were doing their charting, they could just go in and do the quick 10-question survey. We gave a little $5 gift card. We want to hear your voice. But the most important thing was after every pulse survey was following up. And following up and letting them know, hey, you spoke, we heard you, and here's what we're doing about it. And we've done that in a number of ways. You know, we take the feedback directly and have small groups with our team members. We have payday Thursdays where they come in and have lunch with the administrator in small groups. But publishing the results and then showing our action plan around the results and then checking back with them and saying, hey, is this working for you?
So when you say publishing the results, I think probably some of our listeners immediately their heart sinks and they think, how could we ever publish that? Because there might be some things that aren't too positive that they hear on some of those things. So when you say publish, explain that. What exactly do you mean? Is that publishing just back to the employee, the small group? Is that to the overall community? Or how do you publish that? And like, how do you take those things that maybe constructive or maybe even mention in a way that doesn't feel that constructive and turn that into a positive environment?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We publish the results, the aggregated results, globally at the center level so that the center team members can say, hey, here's what you're telling us. And then we really promote those positives and say, this is what you're saying that we need to continue to do. And then we call out, here's what you say we need to do better. We also, amongst our leadership team, we really honor and acknowledge and reward and recognize those administrators and DNSs who have stellar results, and then tap into them for best practices as to how they're engaging their team members locally. And then privately, those administrators and DNSs who are challenged with their team member survey results, helping them along the way, coaching them, providing extra resources and support to help them create action plans that resonate with their team members.
So cool.
Have you seen that some of these results have actually impacted your recruiting efforts?
Yes, we have. We've seen marked improvement in our team member retention and our team member turnover year over year over year. And we've also, interestingly, seen an impact to these results. We're selling them. We're selling them from a talent acquisition perspective as being a good place to work, and it's helping us in that recruitment efforts.
Sure. And Josh, you and I have mentioned many times on the podcast that there's really there's both sides of the equation that a business in caregiving, healthcare, senior living offers, where it's a dignifying work that's being done. And when you mix and match that with a great culture, place to work with, to me, I think that the value proposition that this industry has out to essentially anybody looking for a rewarding career, but in particular, a young group of people that are coming into the workforce, I think that's a magical equation.
Oh, absolutely. And so for our listeners that are really seeking, and they're listening to this episode, they're maybe watching it on YouTube, you know, we've heard a clear mission statement. We've heard some very tangible things that can be literally absorbed, memorized to the heart, you know, then basically manifested. I love that word that you used. And we've talked about engaging the team around that mission and measuring. Is there anything else that you feel like has been your secret ingredient to this whole culture that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah, it's if there's something that's really unique about our company, it's this culture of connectivity, where one of our core values is teamwork. And that seems pretty straightforward, right? But then at DiversiCare, we take it a step further. At teamwork, we care about each other professionally, but boy, do we ever care about each other personally. And then that goes to the core value of compassion, too. You know, we recognize the needs of others. We're empathetic to them. But again, at DiversiCare, my experience has been, it's that next step. We recognize the needs of others. We're empathetic to them, but we take action to do something about them. And every single day, I hear a story, if not more, of how our team members are connected with each other in a very personal way. It's that whole idea of having a best friend at work.
Sure.
And our team members have life events that are happening, and we're rallying around them. And it's bigger than a job, right? It's connected to one another, and we're caring about each other in a very personal way.
I love it. I love it. So tell us a little bit about, you're here, we're at the NRC Symposium. How has the collaboration, the partnership, what we experience here at this conference, this is actually our first symposium. We're really excited about it. So tell us a little bit about that collaborative effort with you guys.
Yeah, so I would say we exploit our partnership with NRC. For us, it's really about giving voice to our stakeholders. And NRC affords us an avenue to do that. We give voice to our team members, as I've mentioned. Importantly, we give voice to our customers. And that includes our patients and our residents. And interestingly, we link the two. There was a time when we were really focused on our customer results, and it became very clear to us that we couldn't get exceptional customer results absent really hearing from our team members and linking what our customers are saying to what our team members are doing, and giving visibility to our team members at all levels of the organization as to the feedback of our customers. So we've been very intentional about hearing from our team members and it really ranking what they're saying actually on our balanced scorecard higher than what our customers are saying, because we believe when they feel good about where they work, our team members will feel good about where either they're staying or living. Our residents will feel good about where they're staying in the case of patients, or living in the case of residents.
I can wholeheartedly support that, and I've been a firm believer. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about filling the love tanks. So we'll say very often, hey, we've got to fill the love tanks physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally of our team members. Mm-hmm. Out of that abundance, it really flows into the resident experience, and you fill those love tanks. So I love, love, love that. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's a really key element. And to hear that NRC has really been a great exploit for you guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, so if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a couple of takeaways that I have is that you, when you are in caregiving, you build a community inside your community, not just with the people that reside in there that are being cared for, but you build a community in your workforce.
That's right.
Where they have friends at work. And then you build a platform to be able to measure that. And then you build a billboard to put it on.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that then impacts your culture overall, that impacts your recruiting, your retention, and just everything from there as far as the outcomes, which is ultimately, from what I understand, is that you want a great outcome for the people that you're caring for.
That's right.
Well, and you know, this, it sounds like common sense when we're sitting here talking about it, but so often it's not common.
It's complicated.
And so it is complicated. It requires, I think, a very intentionality, a strategy, some partnerships that you can exploit, and diligence and the hearts that surrounded it from the leadership down. So thank you for spending time with us and sharing that. I can't wait for our listeners to be able to connect with you, which we definitely want to do in our show notes, and hope you don't mind that.
Yeah.
And so I'd ask you for a parting gift, because you mentioned mentorship, and I can tell that you really do have a servant's heart. It's very apparent. What give some advice or some admonition to that young female adult or young male adult that's trying to get into the business, or trying to make an impact in the career that they're choosing, and maybe they are just hearing this for the first time, or they just need that encouragement about what they can, you know, what this business can offer for them.
Yeah. So I think what this business offers is an opportunity to make an impact. It's bigger than, like I said, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than an individual. It's the opportunity to make a big impact. It's an opportunity to make a lifelong impression. One of the things that I would encourage young leaders, and I wish I would have had someone tell me this when I was a young leader back in the day, is that be intentional about honoring the uniqueness and individuality and story of everyone in our care, and that includes our team members. I mean, these team members sometimes come to work with stories, and it really that we can't even imagine, right? And then it really puts into perspective some of their actions, and even sometimes some of their words. And instead of responding to that in a way that is in a disciplinary way, we're really able to wrap them in, right, and bring them in and understand and be empathetic, take action to do something about it. And then that builds loyalty and trust, which translates into great care and outcomes for our residents and patients. So honoring the uniqueness and individuality of all of those in our care, including our team members.
So awesome.
Huge, huge. Well, we're going to connect to you and your company in our show notes. I know that our listeners are going to want to reach out and connect with you guys. Thank you so much for your time today. It's going to be a great conference. We look forward to spending more time with you as the conference goes on. And thank everyone for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.